You are incredible. Look at someone and say, you are incredible. And we sang a song, right? I am a child of God. Woo! You're incredible. Come on, people. You are. You're incredible. But there are times I don't feel so incredible. There are times I don't act so incredible. So my first week on May 26th was talking about the not so incredible me. The not so incredible me. And I'm not even going to tell you all the not so incredible me's, but we based it off of Romans chapter 7:15. Just scribble that down. I'm not going to have them posted up. Romans 7:15. And the Apostle Paul says, this is the Apostle Paul. He's the Apostle Paul. And he says, hey, you know, I want to do what's right, but then I do what's wrong. I want to do what's right, and then I do what's wrong. And one translation says, I do what I hate. Man, that's bad. I'm not even sure we say amen. That's bad, all right? So listen, how many of you can relate to the Apostle Paul? I want to do what's right. I get out of bed. I'm going to do this right. I'm going to do this. And then I do something wrong. It can be little things, just little things. You're waving at that person in the car next to you that cut you off. Just a little thing. It can be big things. But how many of you have had some times where you wanted to do what's right, but you did something that was not right? Okay. So if you weren't here on May 26th, go listen to the CD. Go online and listen to it, okay? It is so important that you as a believer, as a child of God, I am a child of God, but, you know, there are times that I don't do that I what I should do. But guess what? You are still a child of God. You are still loved by God. You are still incredible. And you got to get that in your head, because there's just going to be some days you mess up. All right? And so get that in your head. The last part of that message, we talked about an attitude we all have to have as a believer. You ever tell your kid they got a bad attitude? They're storming and stomping. You got a bad attitude. But this is the attitude we're supposed to have as a believer. Humility. Humble. And this is how it goes. Real simple. I'm just going to real simple. I can do nothing without you, Lord. Lord, I am nothing without you. Better yet, I know nothing except for with you. That's humility. Okay? So that's how we wrap that up. There you go. There's your quick, brief on the page. Now, I'm going to take today a totally different direction, but I had to get you on that page so you can turn and hop on the second page, okay? So we're basing the series off The Incredibles. How many of you have seen The Incredibles? It's a cartoon. It's Incredibles 2 is out, all right? Hey, listen, I didn't know about it until grandkids, all right? So if you don't know, it's okay to watch. It really is. And in The Incredibles, there's this character called Frozone. Everybody say Frozone. There's this guy called Frozone, and he comes home one day to his wife, there's an emergency. He comes running in, and he goes, honey, where's my super suit? And, you know, we kind of made fun. We were joking around after I saw this. Hey, where's my super suit? Hey, where's my super suit? Okay? But listen, guys, you are incredible. And because you're incredible, because of Jesus, you have a super suit. And we're going to talk about that today, okay? Now, the only trouble about it is I have some times where I go, I just feel like, where did I leave my super suit? Because I just did blankety blank blank blank. And I you know, so we have to, so I want to tell you, you have a super suit. If you're a child of God, you have a super suit, all right? You have a super suit, but guess what? It's on the inside. It's on the inside. And we have to understand this. And when you understand this, you're going to figure out how to get what's on the inside of you on the outside. Right? And then you won't have so many not so incredibles going on here. Okay. So let me just toss this out. So on week one, I kind of tossed this out at the end. And I said, we are all, or better yet, we all have actually a superhero living on the inside. If you're a believer, who lives inside of you? Jesus and 1 Colossians. There's not a 1 Colossians. Colossians 1 and chapter 2. Just write that down. Look it up later. Colossians 1 and chapter 2 back that up. And it says, God or the Godhead lives in Jesus and I live in Jesus, so the Godhead lives inside of me. And then it goes, I think it's in chapter 1, 27, something like that. It says, this was a mystery hidden until now. We are living on the right now. This was a mystery hidden that Christ Jesus lives inside of you. And if the Godhead lives inside of you, guess who moved inside of Jesus, moved inside of you? You got the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. That's pretty, makes you kind of like a superhero. Yeah, it does. All right. Some of you look like you don't know it. Man, Jesus, help them. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. So we could say there's a superhero living inside of me. So close your eyes and just say that. There is a superhero living inside of me. You should be roaring like a lion. Wah! Yeah. Okay, my little 3-year-old grandson, he just comes up to you and he goes, wah! Okay, but I get it. Okay, that's what you should do. I have a superhero that lives on the inside of me. Okay. So when did the superhero come to live inside of you? The day you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Okay. Come on, people. You have a super suit. You have a new life. You have a superhero living on the inside of you. Praise God. Now, when you know that, you'll talk better, and I won't have to wash your mouth out with soap. Okay, when you know who lives inside of you, the superhero, the super suit, the new life, you will talk different. You will act different. I'm glad they don't video this. I'd be so embarrassed the next day. Okay, praise God. Praise God, praise God. So, yeah, I'm going to skip that part. All righty. Open up your Bibles. No, just write this down. I'm just going to machine gun some things at you. Then I'll tell you to write it down. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Okay. Now, what I'm going to go over is B-I-B-L-E basics. And some of you are going to say, oh, I already know that. Actually, Liz shared that by the Spirit of God. Our songs were picked out by the Spirit of God. They said the same thing. Some of you are going to say, well, Pastor D, I already know that. Good for you. You get a star. But you just think everybody's on the same page. Look around. Look around. You get turn around and look at people. That's the only trouble about being on the front row. I want to have one of those big lights. See who's there. Okay, now turn around and look at them. They may not know what you think you know. Yeah, they might not know this. They might listen to Pastor D going, whoa, I didn't know that. Now, for all of you that know this, I'm going to challenge you. Ready? Praise God. Here's my question. When was the last time you realized who lived inside of you? And you went and told somebody that the greater one lives inside of me and what he did in my life. And you said he could do that for you. And you start helping somebody. Don't raise your hand if you can't remember the last time you did that. So to know something and then really know something, big different story, right? Okay, so when was the last time you told somebody what happened in your life? How God changed you, put a superhero, the incredible you, and said, hey, God can do that in your life. Can I tell you about it? I'll pray with you, or I'll just help you better yet, okay? Okay. That's the challenge for today. Praise the Lord. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, So some of you might think, oh, Pastor D, this is so basic. Golly gee whiz, I should be in 12th grade. You got me in kindergarten. Okay, Hebrews chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says there are six basic, Joe basic, preschool, kindergarten doctrines. Okay? And in chapter 6, Paul's about ready to machine gun him. He's going to tell you what it is. But listen, go back to chapter 5, the end. The end of chapter 5. And just write down the end of chapter 5 and then read chapter 6, okay? He said, because I'm doing the Cashman version really fast and you know I talk fast. Because I'm from New Jersey. You should see the New Yorkers. Everyone. Okay. So, but in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says, y'all, everybody say y'all. You all ought to be teaching this stuff. Now, some of you think he says, y'all pastors, Pastor D should be teaching this stuff. The prophets, the evangelists, the teachers. It doesn't say that. It says you all ought to be sharing this to people. Okay. So, wouldn't you think this little basic is when you tell somebody that Jesus did something in your life, made you a new creature? Okay, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so it's okay to go over basics, right? Yeah, that's basic, real basic. Everybody you meet, you should find a little squiggly room where you can just tell them what happened in your life. Okay, alrighty. 2 Corinthians, flip over. 2 Corinthians 4:7. That was just my warm-up. I haven't even gotten to where I'm going. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4:7. The Apostle Paul is talking to this church. You could say he's talking to us, okay? The Apostle Paul, he's talking to this church. And here, this is what he says. We have this treasure from God, but we are like clay jars that hold the treasure in clay jars. Okay. In Bible days, they didn't have plastic. Okay? They made 90% of things out of clay jars, unless you're really, really, really rich. But they made these clay jars to hold everything, okay? Clay jars, okay? And it says these clay jars were fragile. But you have clay jars, okay? So these clay jars that are fragile have a treasure on the inside of them. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a treasure. That's what it says. Am I just pulling rabbits out of hats? No, that's what the Bible says, okay? So it says you have a treasure. Another translation, probably more accurate, says a deposit of wealth is on the inside of you. Woohoo! A deposit of wealth. Now, most of you go, money! It's not talking about money. I like money. If you don't like it, give it to me. I'll give you my direct deposit. Bing! Okay, but it's not talking about money. It says in these clay jars, and he's talking about us, we have a deposit of wealth on the inside of us. Okay, what is that? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Okay, all right. So God deposits in fragile you and me who makes mess ups, you who make a mess ups. He said, it's okay. I am going to deposit this treasure inside of you. Woo! And you know, he wasn't looking for perfect. He believed he could deposit treasure inside of you. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Wah! Okay, I'm going to make you laugh today. So, think about this. I am some days I am just not good enough. Come over and see me on Monday. Who'd have to meet here? Oh yeah, I was meeting somebody here yesterday. Hadn't showered in 2 days because I worked from home on Friday. And Saturday, why shower? I'm not doing anything. And I got a phone call. I had to meet somebody at the church. Oh my gosh. Didn't look pretty. But God deposited his wealth, the Holy Spirit, inside of me. So I did brush my teeth, and I met this person. We had this, passed some things on, and da-da-da-da-da. Okay. So praise God. I don't think he said praise God. Bobby said, whoa, look at her. Okay. Now, there are times. No, wait a minute. So God deposited in you and I His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There are times I don't feel too good. I don't act too good. All right. Okay. But praise God. He's deposited inside not so incredible me, the Holy Spirit. All right. Just put your hand on your belly and just go, man. Whoa. Ah, praise the Lord. Yeah. Woohoo. Okay. All righty. Now, here's what I found out. There are times you don't act it, you don't feel like it, but the Bible says, God says, He has deposited something incredible in you, and you are now incredible. You are now incredible. You are now incredible. And we don't go by our feelings. I wouldn't be up here some mornings if I went by my feelings, all right? The people didn't come today. You went by their feelings, okay? Okay, so we don't go by feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight. And this deposit, this new life, has nothing to do with feelings. But when those feelings are good, yay! But when they're not lining up, get your little butts and start moving. Okay, amen. Praise God. We said, the greater one lives inside of me. Oh, but I don't feel too good. No, the greater one lives inside of you. The treasures of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Now, so I want to talk about the treasure inside of you. Everybody say treasure. Okay. Again, it's really basic. It's basic, but it's a treasure. Okay. And it's basic. So you should be able to share it with somebody. Open up to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 9:16. Praise God. It's basic, so I should be able to tell people about it. Praise God. It's not complicated. Matthew 9, verse 16 and 17. I'm going to talk about this treasure. Talk about this treasure, and then we're going to hop over to John. But Matthew 9, Jesus says this. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth or new. Nobody puts new cloth on an old garment. For the patch, you know, the patch will pull away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Verse 17. Nor do they put new wine into old skins, or else the wineskins break, splash, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined, but they put new wine in new wineskins, so both are preserved. Okay. How many have heard this scripture before? People read this like on the real surface. Now, just a few, you know, they read it and they go, wait a minute, what was Jesus' first miracle? Water into wine. And they go, there he is again. He's talking about wine. He must have a wine problem. Yeah, look at this. He's on wine again. No, no, no. This scripture has nothing to do with that. You want to know what it has to do with? The treasure, okay? This has to do with the treasure that came inside of you the day you asked Jesus to be your Savior. That's what that scripture has to do with, okay? And the day you did that, there was a change on the inside, and hopefully it's getting on the outside, amen? Now, back then, they'd make wine. They still make wine, right? Still make wine. They still ferment it. Now we got high tech and stuff, but it's still a fermenting process that goes on. And nowadays, you put it in glass, right? Back then, they didn't. What'd they put it in? Skins. Animal skins, you know. You know what I'm talking about. So they would put wine in these skins, and then somebody would drink it. And then you've got an empty wine skin, and it became hard. It's because it's skin. Okay, it became hard. Everybody on the page, y'all looking like you need the wine. Gee, tell you what. Someone said, don't look at their faces. I get it. Okay. So they would dry these things out and become hard. Now, when they dry them out, if they put new wine into this old thing, it would just explode, right? All right. Where am I going with this? God puts the Holy Spirit inside of you. But something's got to get changed. Something's got to get new, all right? The Holy Spirit is in the Bible, he's got a lot of personalities. And one of the personalities he's called or representative as oil. Okay? Now, oil. All right. So, You guys, I'm going to turn around and start laughing. Jeez. This is why we don't do live. My gosh. They must do edit, because I can't imagine they make it through the whole service. So praise the Lord. All right. So I'm going to say something. You're all going to look at me like, what? All right. Before God could put his Holy Spirit inside of you, he had to change something. Before God would come inside of you, he had to change you. Okay? Because if he didn't, you'd drop dead, Fred. All right? Pastor D. No, listen. How many of you know your Old Testament? Raise your hand. Everybody, just fake it till you make it. Okay. I'd read my Old Testament every day. I just know it inside out. The Old Testament priests would go into the place, and only a special few on a special time to do a special things. They'd go into the Holy of Holies. It was the holiest place. Okay, they'd go in the Holy of Holies, and they'd pick one. The high priest would go in, and he'd wear a robe. It's nice to wear clothes, right? But on the bottom, they sewed bells on the bottom of his robe, okay? And then they'd tie a rope around his ankle foot, you know, right here. Okay, so he would go in, he'd be selected to go into the Holy of Holies where God's presence, praise God, he's not there now. So, but okay, and he'd walk in there and he'd do his thing and they'd hear jingle, 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 jingle. But if they heard a thud, they'd grab that rope and yank out the dead guy. And it had happened, okay? So why would you hear a thud? Because he didn't do things the right way. Okay, he didn't, the three-letter word, yeah. Okay, but he didn't do, actually, a lot of times, that and the ceremonial ritual. How's that one for one? Okay, so, praise God. So if you heard a thud, they just yank him out. So what God does with us is the Holy Spirit will come and take out and put a new spirit inside of you. And then God's Holy Spirit just moves in. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. I love it. I love it. Okay, so say, I am incredible. I am incredible. I have a treasure. It's the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise God. Yes. Okay. So the Holy Spirit comes in a sense, he rubs you with oil, and listen, he doesn't bandage you up, right? This is, you know, every once in a while I wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, take my big old retainer out of my mouth and start writing here. Okay, Jesus, I know like this morning, Jesus does not come to bless your old life, to bless the mess, but Jesus comes to bless you with new life. That was worth getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Woo! He comes to bless and give you new life. So there's no thud, right? Okay. All right. So you are no longer the person you used to be. You may look the same, but on the inside, the Spirit of God comes, makes you new. Woo! Praise God. All right. Open up to John chapter 1. I think I said that enough there. John chapter 1. John chapter 3, verse 1. Jesus has this guy who comes to him. His name is Nicodemus. How many know about Nicodemus? Old Nick. Okay. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, all right? And they have this conversation that goes on. And it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was no dum-dum. He was much smarter than a fifth grader. This guy, highly educated of the law and religion. Okay, he's not a dum-dum. So there was this man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again. Everybody say born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay. How many of you, I got saved in the early mid-70s, but for the 60s to the middle 70s, they had the Jesus movement, Okay. Anybody get saved in the Jesus movement? Yeah. Okay. And this is where they were majority in the beginning. It was just young people. And you know, let's face it. This is the '60s and seventies and everybody's got long hair and just crazy and smoking everything under the sun. And they get born again and they stop doing that. That's my 2 cents ad. Okay. They stop doing that and they get their lives changed. Okay, and then we used to call them the Jesus freaks because they still had long hair, but they're coming up and just love and Jesus and telling people they got born again. And by the way, you don't have to cut your hair after you get born again. Some of you are like, yeah, they ought to. No, you don't have to. All right, just throwing that in. Though, don't say anything, Pastor D, okay? Okay, so these young people get born again, and there's a whole movement. It just sweeps the college campuses. It just sweeps the beaches in California. They were bananas, okay? They all get born again. And the born again that was kind of the phrase that you started hearing. Born again. Born again. They come up and say, are you born again? And you're like, what are you talking about? Well, yeah. So this phrase and lesson, and I'm guilty too. We don't use that phrase that much no more. We usually say, are you a follower? Are you a believer? And those are good, okay? But Jesus said, born again, okay? Born again. So the problem I see is that we have people, not here, right? We have people that come to church and they say they're following Jesus, right? But they've never, thank you. No, you got it, girl. They've never been born again because there's something, and I'll tell you in a little bit, that you have to do to get born again. It's no cartwheels. Thank you, Jesus. I look terrible in a cartwheel, okay? But we've got people. What's that story? Who tells that? Was it Andrew Womack? You know, just because you stand in a garage doesn't make you a car. Amen. Well, just because you go to church, just because you're raised in a Christian family, just because you're an usher, just because you work in the nursery, doesn't make you born again. There's got to be some things that go on, okay? Pastor Dean is so basic. Yeah, I know. So that's the challenge. Who said you have to be born again? Pastor D? Jesus said it. Jesus said, and he said, born again. And he so must. He said, you must. Everybody say must. Because you can go to church, you can be raised in a Christian home, you can be our usher, and la, but you must be born again. Okay, praise God. So, Nicodemus comes to a night, and he's thinking, he says, you know, hey, we all think you must come from God because you do all these miracles. And Jesus just is like, man, he just goes for the juggler, and he says, hey, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. If you want to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. And what he's saying, if you want to see what I'm doing on this earth, you have to be born again. You have to have a new life. You have to have the Spirit of God come inside of you. You have to have a super suit. And it's like, wing, right over Nicodemus's head, right? Okay, jump down to verse 4. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb to be born? So he's like, Jesus, I can't get back into my mother to be born again. What are you talking about? All right. And Jesus wasn't talking about that. Jesus was talking about something spiritual. Nicodemus is thinking something natural. Like, how do you do this? All right. Okay. Jump on to verse 5. He says, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, everybody say water, and the Spirit, say Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That's what is born of spirit is spirit. Okay. So, calm down, Pastor D. Okay. So when he's talking about flesh and water, that's the natural. You know, you hear the lady, the water broke. Okay. He's talking about spiritual, but then he says, so you have to be born spiritual. I mean, naturally, you have to have a baby. They have to come. But after that, he's saying you need the spiritual birth. You need the spiritual birth to see the kingdom of God to So good. So good. You need that. Okay. So, we got people that come to church and come to church, and I want you to come to church. Bring your neighbors, bring your enemies, bring anybody you want. And I want you to come to church. But Jesus said, you have to be born again. You have to have an experience. You have to have an experience where you ask Jesus and you become born again. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, if you've never had this experience, I'm going to tell you about it at the end. We're going to wrap this package up, put a bow on it, and you're going to have an opportunity. But let me just say this. The greatest, how many of you believe in miracles? How many of you have seen some miracles? There's some guy, man, shoo, wonderful, wonderful. So I believe in miracles, but you know what the greatest miracle is? When someone says, Jesus, I need you. I want to be born again. That's the best miracle, the greatest miracle, right? Praise God. Now the problem, not with us, somebody else, right? But the problem is many times we feel, we have to feel. Well, I didn't feel like I got born again. I didn't have goosebumps. I didn't have snot running out of my nose. I didn't cry. Okay, and we think we have to have a feeling. Everybody say no. No, you don't. It doesn't say, Jesus didn't say, you must be born again and have a feeling. He didn't say, you must be born again and have goosebumps. He didn't say that. He just simply said, you must be born again. Now, I know people that said, and I really felt like a sweetness, a presence that I hadn't felt in so long when I asked Jesus and I got born again. And I've had people tell me that they feel this and feel that. But how many of you didn't feel a thing? Didn't feel a thing. Right. All right. So praise God. Jesus just said you have to be born again. If you're all taking notes and smarter than the fifth grader, just jot this down. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Okay, I'm going to shift gears. Don't get lost when I go down this road. Just giving you a warning. Okay, Jack used to say things and I'm like, where the heck is he? But then if I hung with him, I knew where he ended up. Okay, so I'm going to do one of those. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is the Apostle Paul and he's writing to churches again. Okay, and he says, I'm praying for you that you might be sanctified spirit, soul, and body. And it's one of those moments that he starts telling us that you are a three-part being. Jesus said that, I am a three-part being. You are a three-part being. What does it say? Spirit, soul, and body. Let me tell you how it works, and you can just write this down. Spirit, your spirit, when you get born again, your spirit is made brand new. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Your spirit gets made brand new, okay? The moment you ask Jesus, that moment, like that, your spirit, the real you, spirit, soul, and body, gets made brand new, okay? But then you have two problems left over. The mind and your flesh, okay? So the mind, your mind, or your soul, your mind, has to be changed. Your mind has to be renewed. Some of you, your mind needs to get renewed, okay? Your mind has to get renewed, okay? And I have people that tell me, I never read my Bible. I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh, there you go again, Pastor D. You always say you have to read your Bible. The only way you're going to renew your mind is just through the Bible. And your app that has a 30-second Bible reading is not going to cut the mustard. But keep the app, okay? I put it on when I can't sleep at night. Ching, I just listen to it, okay? So you have to read your Bible. Now, there's more to it. You have to read your Bible and you have to apply it. So have you ever bought sunscreen? In the bottle, great. Not going to do nothing unless you apply it. Burn, baby, burn, right? So you have to read your Bible and you have to do it. That's how you renew your mind. It's the only way. Pastor, yes, it's the only way, okay? Now, I know people that say, I read the Bible and they can quote the Bible better than I can. I just ask Google nowadays, okay? But you have to read it and apply it. Okay? So that's one problem. And here's the biggest problem we have. It's called our flesh. Now, I'm not talking about the skin with the, I don't even think I have hair on my arms anymore. It's just all rubbed off. I don't know. But your flesh, that's how you act. You know, your flesh, the Bible says you have to crucify it. You know what that means? It's one time you can say, shut up. It wants to do things and you need to say, shut up. Don't do it, okay? So you have, Picture this. There's two big guys walking down an alley, and then there's a little shrimpy guy down the alley, and the two big guys are going to jump him and beat him up. Guess who's going to win? It's not the karate kid, the little guy. The two big guys are going to win, okay? If you don't do something with your renewing your mind and telling your flesh to crucify it, it will dominate your spirit. You're going to have the snot beat out of you, in other words, okay? I just try to say it nice, okay? If you don't renew your mind and if you don't renew your mind to the Word of God, not Netflix, okay, whatever else you do that just gets in your brain all the time. If you don't renew your mind to the Bible, okay, and your flesh just wants to do all this stuff, guess what happens? You'll wake up someday and you go, my gosh, I'm doing the things I used to do before I got born again. I said, I'm like, blah, 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 okay? And you can't understand why you're doing these things and saying these things. And you're going, but Pastor D said I have a new being. I'm a new spirit. Oh, the Incredible's inside of me. Because we still have to part to play. Till the day Jesus calls you home, you have to renew your mind. Okay, now I'm going to say this. It's not really hard, but you have to do it daily. Okay, so someone says, well, I went to church on Easter and I plan on going at Christmas. That'll be twice this year. And how come my mind's not renewed and my flesh is just ballistic all over the place? You have to live this life renewing your mind and telling your flesh, shut up, die, right? Okay. And that is why we recommend, this is one of the reasons why we recommend, go get into a grow group. Why would I want to go to somebody's house? I don't know. Because they'll have people that have like precious faith that'll pray for you and encourage you and slap you when you act like a big knucklehead. And say, what are you, in love, right? You have this group. Because you know what? We were not meant to do life alone. Okay, and the second thing we like to encourage you, besides getting into a group, is how about you serve? Oh, Pastor D, I don't want to serve. Well, you know what? When you serve, you're on the children's ministry team. And Stacy heads that up, and she's got some great ladies. And we need some men down there, by the way, too. And you get in this team, and they'll slap you silly if you start acting goofy. No, we do. You're not meant to do life alone. Praise God. And they'll help you, and they'll encourage you. They'll be on your case to say, did you renew your mind? And what is your flesh doing today? Okay? Praise the Lord. Enough of that. Someone said this not too long ago. You know, I just hate people. You know what that told me? You need to get born again. Forget renewing your mind. You need to get born again if you hate people because, what comes and lives inside of you? God, the Holy God, who's love. Okay, so enough said about that. Ezekiel, just write this down. It'll take you too long to figure out where it is. Ezekiel 11:19. This is a prophet, an Old Testament prophet, Ezekiel, Pastor D, okay? And he starts talking, and this is actually applies today. Ready? He says, then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them and take the old stony heart of flesh and give them a heart. Ooh, new. Give them a heart. Woo, love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. How many have been around the block a couple times and life has gotten made you kind of cynical? Not this place. We don't have any cynical people around here, but you get kind of hard because life, you put walls up, and you shoot missiles, okay? Better yet, I just don't let anybody in, okay? If that's you, you kind of got a stony heart, all right? And he says this. The moment you say yes to Jesus, takes this old stony heart out, puts a new heart, and the Spirit of God comes in. Shh. So if you know any old stony hearts, you need Jesus. You need to be born again. Amen? Okay. So Jesus can actually, like, you know, the Holy Spirit rub oil on you. Woo! Just rub oil on you. Take this old stony heart, chuck it out. Puts a brand new heart, a new spirit, a new life inside of you. Woo! Now, I do live in a body. I do have this brain, okay? But the real me is a spirit. And because I said yes to Jesus, his spirit's inside of me. And I am incredible. Whoa! Right? Amen. All right. Okay, your spirit becomes brand new. Now listen, Adam sinned, all have sinned, but you ask Jesus, you get a new spirit, new life, a new superhero suit. Praise God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and we're going to wrap up. Woo! Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone, raise your hand if you're an anyone. I'm an anyone. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have new. So the way you get in Christ, the way you get in Christ is you get born again. The way you get born again, you just say, Jesus, come into my life. I'll give you my mess. Okay? The way you get born again. All righty? And he says, if anyone is in Christ, you're a brand new creation or creature. Okay? Depending on what version you're reading. But listen to this one. I forgot what translation this is out of. He says, you are a brand new species. Woo! Brand new species of being that never existed before. Everybody say new. I just bought my first new car. Yes! Then I had to make the payment. But listen, new. The guy asked me, what is writing down how many miles. And at first I thought he said 6,000. No, six. New. I've waited 65 years to do this. I know some people say not wisdom. Keep your thoughts to yourself. I don't really care. I checked with Michael. Okay. New. New. Everybody say new. He put something new that's never existed before on the inside. So your old mess, your old way, your old junk, gone. New. Okay. New. Praise the Lord. All right. So. Because Jesus died and rose again. Do you know that? Because Jesus died and rose again, I get born again. And I got born again. Okay? I'm a child of God. My sins are forgiven, and he puts new on the inside of me. Y'all should smile. You should not, you get, like, depression's gone, baby. Stupid thinking's gone because new, right? So closing up, I'm going to give you three things. Yes, I can do it. Three things here. Because how did this all happen? Like, I want to know how it happened. All right? So, this is, if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, this whole, the incredible you, the super suit, the superhero, the new life happened because Jesus was made sin for us. Okay, write down 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus was made to be sin for us. If you're an us, yes, you are. Jesus was made to be sin for me, for you, okay? I'm going to read this to you. Most of you know this. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin. He didn't sin, right? Sinless. The Lamb of God, sinless, okay? So he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us that we might become, another translation says, be born righteous, become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Woo! Praise God, praise God, praise God. Okay, so this is called substitution. There's a bunch of scriptures in the New Testament that talk about this. I'm just going to give you one. Turn on all parts of your brain. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. Okay. Substitution. Everybody have a substitute teacher and you're going, what the heck is she talking about? Listen to this. Substitute. Jesus became our substitute. Yeah. Liz was trying to say that. Okay. So what are you talking about? When they nailed Jesus to the cross, He was our substitute. We should have been nailed to the cross. We were sinners. I was a mess up. Some of you are a mess up. Okay, he was our substitute. Everybody say, he was my substitute. Okay, when he went to hell, he was our substitute. Who should have gone to hell? I should have been in hell. I was a sinner. Okay. And then the other one is when he was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father, guess where you are now seated at the right hand of the Father? Because he was your substitute. Should fall on the floor and just cry. Just thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being my substitute. I should have died. I should have been in hell. I should have, all right? So he was your substitute. He was everyone's substitute, so you don't have to suffer. And whoa, isn't that awesome? Okay, he became our substitute. And listen, I just rattled off 10 scriptures when I said all that. So all scriptures in the epistles, okay, just get them. They're really good. Okay, so Jesus was made sin or an our substitute so that I could be born new, have new life, have God come and fill me, and I'm a child of God, all right? Number two, so how does this thing happen? You have to receive Jesus Christ to experience being born again. You have to receive Jesus in order to have this born again, okay? 1 John, I'm just going to read it. John 1:12. But to all who believe, raise your hand if you believe. But to all who believe him, accept him, he gave you the right to become children of God. I am a child of God. Woo! All right? But you have to believe to have that experience. Okay, last one. I can do this. I can do this. Praise God. Write this down. There has to be a mouth and a heart connection for this to happen. Romans 10. Just open up your Bible. Some of you could recite this during cartwheels, but you got to look at this, okay? All right. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Here we go. I'm reading this out of the English Standard Version just to throw you off. Here we go. Because if you confess with your that Jesus is Lord and believe in your that God raised him from the dead, you will be. Woo! For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Okay, so there's a mouth and a heart thing going on, right? Okay, I'm going to read the rest of it here. Where am I? 11. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches, treasures, on all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Bible basic. You are incredible. The treasure of God lives inside of you. And every day, don't put your feet down until you do. Whoa! Okay? All right? Praise God. Praise God. So I just want to say this. Maybe you, or maybe somebody you know, has been coming to church. They're an usher, you know, and they, quote, following Jesus. But Jesus said, you must be born again. Pastor D didn't say, you must be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. And then the Apostle Paul says there's a mouth and a heart thing that goes on so you get born again. So what are we believing when we say this? We're believing that Jesus died and rose again and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. We believe that. Okay, we're believing that Jesus is Lord. We're believing there's one way to heaven. Only one way. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you that you have made us incredible. I thank you. I thank you that you've taken the stony heart and you've rubbed us with oil, got rid of our past, our sins are forgiven, and put new life. And you've made us new creatures. Shoo! And we are gonna walk it out. And we're going to share it with people because that's why you came. Thank you. Thank you for this new life. Thank you for the born again experience. And with eyes closed, if you came here today and you have never said, Jesus, I need you. I want born again. I want to be born again. Today's the day of salvation. Today, I don't think there can be one hard heart here. Today, if you would call on the name of the Lord, he would save you. And you would not be ashamed. Praise God. So if there's anybody here, it would say, Pastor D, just raise your hand. Pastor D, would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you. Matter of fact, we'll all pray for you. But you're saying today, I want this new life. I'm a sinner, but I need a new life and my sins forgiven. Is there anybody in here that you want us to pray for you? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody? Nobody's moving. Nobody's, okay. Okay, everybody look at me. You all are incredible. Life of God, new life lives inside of you. You are more than a conqueror. The greater one dwells inside of you. Amazing. Amazing. So how on earth could you be depressed? It's a lie from the devil. And you tell him to shut up. I'm a child of God. I am victorious because I'm in Christ. And then the challenge is what God has done in you, go out and tell somebody. Because unless someone is born again, oh, they live for eternity. Oh, yeah, they live for eternity. But they are forever separated from God in this place called hell. But if you receive Jesus, just simply say, Jesus, I ask you into my life, born again, forever, in the presence of God forever. So you're on a mission. Now, don't be dumb and hit them with the Bible and say you're a sinner. You know, come on. You're smarter than a fifth grader, right? But you got a mission. Amen. Stand up. Hallelujah. I love you. I have had fun. Praise God. What do you want to do there, Nevin? You want to sing or nothing? No, we're not going to sing. Happy Father's Day. Y'all blessed. You are incredible. One more time. Have a great day.